Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio is my co-host, Dr. Les Olala, Chancellor at Northern Baptist Bible College. Doc, you have been talking to us in the last two broadcasts about a Bible character, and that is the character of the man Esau. And you talked to us in the last two broadcasts of his life, really of the person that he was, what kind of a man he was, and what his character was like, and then of the privileges that he had. We had seen Esau come to the place where he despised the privilege of his birthright and literally traded it for a bowl of soup.
Yes, we see the price that he paid. We considered his person, and we consider the privilege. Now we see an interesting statement there. It says, for one morsel of meat sold his birthright.
Hmm. Now, what was the birthright? Remind us of that.
Well, obviously, the birthright gave him the progenitorship. It gave him a double portion. Hmm. It gave him the right to take that which was dad's. It was all transferred over. There was a spiritual blessing connected to it, keeping in mind the Abrahamic covenant.
Yes, yes.
Connected to it. So for him to sell the birthright for one morsel of meat, I'd like us to look back in Genesis 25, and we see the history of that whole thing developing. How does that happen? In fact, Genesis 25 uses a word that he despised his birthright. And as Jacob and Esau were born, the boys began to grow. And Jacob was, to me, kind of a mommy's boy. And Esau was the man's man.
Yeah, he was out hunting. And,
Esau is the kind of a guy that I would have related to as far as out in the woods. And
the hairy one.
Yeah, right. He had to be mighty hairy for dad to get his arm.
Yeah.
And felt like that can't be Jacob. But Jacob could see this. And we have to remember that before we ever sell something in the marketplace, we've sold it many times in our mind.
I remember that statement.
And
that was
Jacob,
powerful.
Many, many times in his mind, had schemed to get Esau. And Esau, I'm sure, had gotten to a weakening point. Mm-hmm. And Jacob, being the supplanter that he was, had set this thing up.
Yeah, he took advantage.
And when he saw that Esau came in, you know, I'm hungry enough to die. Actually, an overstatement or a exaggeration that Jacob said, well, now's the time. Sell me your birthright and I'll feed you. And it is at this point when we realize that he considered the birthright to be a worthless thing. Esau was only conscious of what he could touch, not what he could imagine. It was the touchable. It was that which was future, if I obey, that he could not relate to. He could only relate to, I want it now. In verse 31 of Genesis 25, and Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I'm at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright, that Hebrew word bazah, despised the birthright, considered worthless the birthright.
I mean, just thinking through that concept, I mean, how much do we despise the things God gives us?
Yeah, that's a very good thought, because what things are invaluable to us that we do not see right now, but yet they are loaded with the spiritual, the eventual.
The promises of God.
The promises of God. The eventual had nothing in Esau's mind.
He lived for the right now is what you're saying.
He lived for right now. He could not see. If he were alive today, he would probably in debt over his years.
With stuff.
With stuff that he had to have right now.
Yep.
And afterward was not a thing in his mind. That which was eventual was not a thing in his mind. And there are many things listed. And in fact, I followed this word despised through several portions of the Old Testament. In fact, it would be good if, Doc Horn, if you could read Numbers 15:31, and I'll have you read the reference, and then we'll analyze what was despised. Numbers 15:31.
Says this, because he hath despised the word of the Lord, and hath broken his commandment, that soul shall utterly be cut off, his iniquity shall be upon him. So I guess here it would be the word of the Lord.
Yeah, he despised the law of the Lord, the word of God. We ask ourselves the question, Keep in mind, despising means considered worthless.
Mm-hmm.
How valuable is the Word of God to us? Do we despise it? Do we treat it as lightly?
Yeah.
Say, I've got to satisfy my flesh. I will put aside the eventual for the immediate fulfillment of what I feel like doing right now and literally despise the law of the Lord, despise the
Word. Here's what God said we need to do, and I don't feel like doing it. I'm too tired, or it's not convenient.
Right.
Yeah, I can see that.
So we push it aside. Numbers chapter 11 and verse 20.
Says this, but even a whole month until it come out at your nostrils. I think this is talking about the bread.
Yeah, the provision of the manna.
But even a whole month until it come out at your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you, because ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? So I guess here would be the Lord they're despising.
They despise the law. They despise the Lord, who was the provider of all of that. They were complaining, griping. The most severe judgment on God's people came in the Old Testament, the gripers.
You know, it's interesting. These people, when you go back to what they were and what they had, they were way worse off in Egypt.
Oh, yes.
And now they're going.
But everything always looked better where we were.
Yeah.
When things are not good where we are.
That's right.
We forget that there were tough things. Egypt was not a picnic.
No, whips and no straw for bricks and. Yeah, overseers and pain,
and leeks and garlics were the things that they were missing.
It doesn't sound like a gourmet meal to me.
It doesn't sound that much to me either. Then 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 27, we see the word despised again. 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 27.
But the children of Belial said, how shall this man, talking about Saul, save us? And they despised him and brought him no presents, but he held his peace.
Despised the leadership. They said, how are we going to show disrespect to the king?
Wow.
So the children of Belial. So people who are despisers of authority speak with the tip of their pens.
Yep. No presence.
No presence.
No gift to God. No.
Forgetting that what they have, God owns. And so they manipulate and they control with the tip of their pen. But in this particular case, they said, we will show you dishonor. That you mean nothing to us, we will not bring you a present.
Hmm.
We will not do that. And then Numbers chapter 14 and verse 31.
Says, but your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. So here it's the land.
The land. See the progression. The law will despise. The Lord himself will despise. Leadership will despise. Now the land that God had graciously provided for them will despise. What is this to us? Worthless.
Huh.
Because they were ingrates. And it's significant that one of the characteristics of the ungodly in Romans 1, neither were thankful.
Right. Well, you know, that's true in our Christian lives. I mean, when we start making allowances in our life to disobey what God has said, pretty soon, you know, we start despising the provisions the Lord has given. We start being discontent with the spiritual leaders he's provided for us, especially if they come to us and say, hey, what's going on? And then the next thing you know, we've despised the place that God has put us after saving us.
Yes. Despise the very gracious provision of God in that placement. And then to me, the most significant one that I discovered was Isaiah 53 and verse 3.
The great servant passage says this, he is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. So this would be actually Christ and his sacrifice.
The love of Christ.
Wow.
That really is the ultimate of considering worthless. Look at Calvary, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. A person looks at that and says, that's worthless to me. And when you look at Isaiah 53 and speaking of who hath believed our report, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed, and then it goes into that great description of Christ, the prophetic description of Christ and the crucifixion and the lamb being led off to slaughter for our sins. The love of the Lord is despised by those who choose to reject.
Wow.
And say, that's a worthless thing to me. So there are many things when we follow this word despise. Bazaar, that Hebrew word, that could parallel what we see going on in our lives today.
And really, this is the price for following our flesh.
Right, because we don't consider the right things valuable and we consider the wrong things of high value. And we'll pay a price for that which is worthless, and we will completely ignore that which is eternal and right for us.
So what happened to Esau?
Well, the text goes on in Hebrews, and it says, "For ye know," in verse 17 of Hebrews 12, "for ye know how that afterward," and that's the key word when we began this whole series. I said the key word to me in this whole passage is the word afterward, because it is speaking of the eventuality that Esau ignored. Whenever we make decisions, we have to think of afterward. What is this decision going to cost? What price tag is connected? Everyone is free to choose, but no one is free to determine the consequence of his choice.
Right.
Because I am a free moral agent, I can make a choice. But I am not free to determine what the consequence of that choice will be. And here
that's a lesson to learn.
Afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, now that he had come to a point when he is thinking, oh, this could have been mine, he was rejected, which indicates that he had gone making an appeal. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. And I don't believe the repentance he was looking for was in him. I believe he was looking for repentance in his father.
In other words, Dad, change your mind about
Dad,
this.
Dad, please change your mind. Please, could I have what I forfeited? Because there's no indication that Esau himself ever repented. He regretted, but there's a big difference between repenting and regretting. I can regret consequentially, but I repent because of I see who I am before God. And as we said in one other series, consequential repentance is always overrun by emotion.
Yes.
And I go back to the same sin that trapped me in the first place.
Because we're really not sorry about the sin.
No.
We're sorry we got caught.
Consequence of what sin brought. So the pain is that there was no place of repentance, and he begged and begged and to live that misery. Hebrews chapter 11 speaks of Moses. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. So the plea would be, turn. If there is something like Esau in me, turn from that. Because as a person, we saw that he had two problems. He was sensual and senseless. You see that in the text. He had tremendous privilege. He had the birthright. But he paid a price for one morsel of meat sold. That which was eventual and that which was eternal. And the pain is there and he can't change it.
And our plea, as you heard Doc O say a moment ago, is before you go another step, turn and come back to the Lord. May the Lord bless you until the next time that we're together for another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program.